Hi, beautiful souls, and welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic. Today's episode is with Natalie McNeil. Natalie is the founder of Coaching Evolved and its signature transformational embodiment coaching certification, the only ICF-accredited multimodality certification of its kind. She's also an Emmy Award-winning media entrepreneur and best-selling author listed on the Levo 100 as a transformer of our generation and featured by Inc. as one of 27 women leaders changing the world. She is devoted to expanding human potential and inspiring people to live deeply meaningful lives through her books, videos, interactive films, coaching experiences, and live events. She has been featured in Elle, Glamour, People, Times, Forbes, Inc., Entrepreneur, and many more. And in this episode, we talk all about embodiment. What is it? How do we become embodied? What is the practice of embodiment? How can we get started with these kinds of practices? We also talk about how you can become your own best life coach, how you can really become your own healer by tapping into the wisdom of the body. And finally, we talk about if you do want to become a coach, what your next steps might be. And Natalie shares all about her certification program. So let's dive into the episode. Natalie, thank you so much for being here. I just want you to know how much I love you as a friend and a sister. And it means so much to me that you came.
I feel the same way. I adore you. I just love you so much. And it's such an honor to get to be here. And I feel like this conversation has been a long time coming.
Yes, it has. And we've known each other for many, many years. But I want everyone to hear your journey, your story. Because when I first met you, I've always known you as like a very successful, ambitious woman. But when I met you, when you were doing She Takes on the World, you were running your business in a very different way than the woman that I know now, which is this very embodied, evolved, spiritual woman. But I understand that you were that woman that whole time, but you were expressing your life and your business in a completely different way back then. Can you share that journey with everyone?
Yeah. So when I started She Takes on the World, it was back in, I think 2008 was when I started it. And there weren't a lot of business blogs at the time by women. And I was building a completely different company at the time. I was building a media and production business. And I started writing this little blog called She Takes on the World, which ended up taking on a life of its own.
Well, obviously, if you're going to call it
She Takes on the World, the energetics of it, the essence of it was like, all right.
Exactly. That was a contract.
Let's do this. That it absolutely was. And as I was building that, it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. My first book was She Takes on the World. Mm-hmm. And it was that led me into really getting to see what is underneath somebody's success. Because I started working with a lot of women all over the world. And it was that experience that showed me that when we want something and we're not moving toward what we really want, we say we want the business or we want the dream career or we want the home or we just want to like really live on purpose or we want the relationship. And it often gets labeled as self-sabotage, but it's more self-protection, self-preservation. There's a part of us that doesn't feel safe working toward what we really want, how we really want to be expressing. And I learned that through the work I was doing with women. So I started training, this was way back in like 2010, in modalities like emotional freedom technique and breath work and embodiment practices and all the things that are much more the front-facing aspects of my business now. But at the time, I felt like to meet people where they were, I couldn't lead with that. That was my own belief, whether that was true or not at the time. People thought it was strange how much I was meditating. People would be like, meditation? Breath work? What? And I can see how much more ready people are for it now.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like back then it was all about the mind. It was like, if you want to change something, change your mindset.
Change your mindset.
Think something, change your mindset, change your life. If you want to change your actions, you have to think different thoughts. And it was all like very brain and mind focused.
Yeah.
And it's almost like people just weren't ready to kind of go into the body or hear anything around embodiment work or somatic work or breath work, because it was all about the mind, and the body felt almost like foreign, or like a planet that hadn't been explored properly yet.
Absolutely. People would come on my retreats and we would start off that way, and then we would go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then people were like, whoa, what is this? What am I feeling right now? I'm feeling space in my body. I'm feeling open. I'm feeling powerful. I'm feeling like I can use my voice and express my truth. And that's where the magic started happening, and where I got to really see that that's my deeper calling. But I still continued to run my business in a particular way. I didn't reveal all of myself from the beginning. You kind of had to go down the rabbit hole of our brand to get to all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Until I realized on one of my retreats that I had been resisting really claiming my calling as a coach, because the way that I was taught coaching, the way that I had been coached, it didn't resonate with me. And pair that with the marketing tactics of some in the coaching industry and just how the industry felt online oftentimes, which didn't resonate with me so much. All of that created this concoction of resistance to really claiming that. And I was on a retreat in Bali and I was doing this work, and people were like, this is your path. It's business and strategy, and you have this brilliant mind, but like, this is what I really needed. Mm. And I got that on a deeper level.
Beautiful.
And everything shifted from that point.
If someone doesn't know what embodiment really means, how would you describe it?
So embodiment actually has a lot of different segments right now in some ways, because people are researching it from very different lens, which is fascinating to me. So if we look more classically at embodiment, it's the state of inhabiting a body. And then we can get more philosophical with it. Like, is a body a condition of our existence? Do we have to have a body to exist? What's beyond that? The work that I do now at my company, Coaching Evolved, and the way that we train coaches, practitioners, is that we look at the body in a way that's rooted in the koshas. So we look at the body physically, but also energetically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So what is the body really? So depending on someone's lens of the world and beliefs, embodiment is studied very differently. The way that I practice embodiment right now and with my clients is a modality that I've named transformational embodiment. And what transformational embodiment is more this definition of embodiment as being the holistic expression of the core essence of a desire, a belief, an idea, or a thought. So if we take that one step further to transformational embodiment, it's being, it's expressing in this moment the core essence of a desire, a belief, an idea, or a thought. So if you say, this is how we make embodiment more tangible. If you say, I really want to be doing work that absolutely lights me up. I want to be living my purpose. I want to be excited for the work that I'm doing. I want to feel like it serves. And then coming back to the moment, your expression in this moment is that you go to a job every day that you absolutely hate. That you can very clearly see is out of alignment with what you really want. So we look at what you want and we get down to the essence of it. It's like the essence of purpose, the essence of contribution, the essence of personal power, the essence of sovereignty. So we pull out those essences and we embody them now in the present moment, which is a way that we can quickly calibrate.
Yes.
In a way that fully aligns with what we really want. And that's how we create it. There's so many studies now that show that the body actually influences our cognition. Mm-hmm. So if we are being something right here and now, we are training the mind to also look for those opportunities. That's the science, part of the science of manifestation, is that we know that we want something and we hold the vision of it, and then we start seeing more opportunities. Our mind is more attuned to what we really want, and we see the opportunities that are in front of us.
That's been a really big part of my manifestation path, really, is like, yes, visualizing is very important, but then like embodying that, like how does it feel in my body to have that thing that I desire, that future that I desire? How would I walk? How would I go about my life differently if I was already embodying the self that already has the thing that I want, that already lives the life that I want?
Exactly.
You know, like, and I think this is also Esther Hicks teaches this, Abraham Hicks, is like, act as if, right? Act as if it's already happened.
To me, it's
like what you're saying.
It's the installation of our vision into our body. Like if you download new software onto your computer, unless you actually install that software, it's absolutely useless.
Ooh, I love that analogy.
Yeah. So it's like embodiment is that we're downloading the vision. We know the vision. We can see what we really want. It's there. We have the vision board. And embodiment is installing it in every cell of our being, installing it physically. It's our posture. It's how we literally move through the world, installing it energetically, tuning into the energetics of that vision. And, you know, every emotion has an underlying energy as well. So looking at the emotion and the underlying energy, like how am I going to feel when I have that thing? And how can I really install that feeling, anchor it into my body?
Yeah. And I feel like what holds a lot of people back from being able to do that is trauma. You know, their body doesn't feel safe to actually have the things that they want. So even though they have the vision board, they say they want it, they're writing it down, their body is not allowing them to actually get there because it doesn't feel safe. So then it comes out like this self-sabotage, and all these barriers come up. Can you speak into like how someone starts to access that and move that trauma and actually work with the body in that way?
Ooh. So this was my path as well. I was running this other company, as I shared, and it did not feel safe for me to present to the world as this practitioner of breathwork and emotional freedom technique and meditation while still being a business strategist. I felt like those things couldn't coexist. I felt like I would be judged, like I would be criticized at that time. Again, things are different now, but at that time it didn't feel safe. And so I held myself back in conscious and in unconscious ways. And what we can do, what our listeners, our viewers can start to do, is tune into the part of themselves that doesn't feel safe having that. So when you think about actually having that vision manifest in your life, is there part of you that would feel unsafe in having that? And can you start to work with that part? Sometimes, you know, as a child, I felt loved when I was perfect. I felt the most loved when I was perfect, when I got perfect on my tests, when I was doing something that people were like, oh, that's like perfect.
You and I had the same childhood.
I wanted to be perfect. I felt so like loved and adored in that space. But what that created in me is that part. So that part of myself that still is a perfectionist, I have to bring that part to the table when I'm taking on new things, because that part of me is afraid of failing, is afraid of trying to do something too big, too grand, because if I do and I fail, then I'm not going to be loved anymore, or people are going to look at me differently. Mm-hmm. So when I'm taking on something new, I get to tune into that part of me and I get to say, what do you need in this moment? And sometimes I sit different parts of me down at a boardroom table. This is one of my favorite practices to do. So I bring the perfectionist into the boardroom. I bring the ambitious CEO into the boardroom. I bring my inner child that just wants to play into the boardroom. And they sit down and every part has an opportunity, either through therapeutic journaling or through expressing out loud, like tuning into that part and letting it actually have voice. Each part gets to express what it needs. So the perfectionist says to the CEO, I'm willing to go with you on this journey to birth this new thing in the world, but I need some attention sometimes. I need reassurance that it's safe. Even if I fail, I'm safe. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. That's not a condition. Success is not a condition for me to be deeply loved. So I just need to be acknowledged for having the courage to keep trying something new. So tuning into what that part of you needs. And then there are somatic practices that we can use as well to make ourselves feel more safe.
Let's go through some of those now. Can you give some examples and we can all our listeners can try and do it along while they're listening.
So we have to feel safe in going after the things that we want. I used to do this when I would go on dates. Before I was in the partnership that I'm in now and I was out dating, I would sometimes not feel safe going on the date because I felt like, ooh, if I'm all of me in all my muchiness, is that going to be too much for someone? I would start to get into the mind. And so before I would go on a date, I would do this somatic hold as well. It just completely calms the nervous system. This is an easy one to do. Even if you're just listening, you can place, don't do this if you're driving though.
Please
come back to this one after you are somewhere cozy. Put a hand on the forehead and a hand on your chest. And close your eyes. Just take a deep breath here in through the nose and out through the mouth. And another deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just feel that space in between your hands. And now whatever hand is on your forehead, I want you to take that hand off your forehead and just move it to your belly. And take a deep breath here in through the nose and out through the mouth. One more breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Feel that space between your hands. And now whatever hand is on your heart, on your chest, bring that hand to the forehead. So now you have a hand on your forehead and a hand on your belly. And take a deep breath here. And let it go. Deep breath in. And let it out. And feel that space between your hands. And now bring both hands to your heart. And just take one deep breath here, deepest breath of the day, breathing in through your nose. And letting it go. You are safe.
I am safe, you can say to yourself here. You can open your eyes when you're ready. And that is a very quick 1 minute process. All it takes is a minute to calm the nervous system and to put your body into a space of feeling safe. So that's a beautiful practice that you can try anytime. I use it often. It's such a go-to. It's a go-to when I'm working with clients, whether I'm coaching them or we're doing healing work or an embodiment practice. We almost always start with that. When we're doing goal setting, we start with that by coming into that center and calm space. Another one that I absolutely love is clearing space. We need space within ourselves for all the things that we most desire. And if we're holding on to something, we're clogging up our channel in a way.
Oh, yes. I know the feeling.
Do you know that feeling? I know that feeling.
You know, I feel like we were touching on this at dinner last night. We were talking about relationships and we were talking about me. We were talking about my breakup and we were talking about like dating. And it's that whole thing of like, yes, I want to meet someone. And do I feel safe yet? Does it feel safe yet? And there's this energy, there are these things inside of me that it's almost like there's not enough space yet because there are these things that I'm still holding on to that need to be released, these old contracts, these old vows. Can we speak a little about that? Because I feel like what you're saying in terms of like clearing the energy field, this, I just had to bring that up because it feels like that is the same conversation.
Thank you for sharing that too. I know it's been such a journey. And for anyone, I mean, we've all been through heartbreak. That's part of this human experience. And one of the things that becomes very important in healing from heartache or any deep grief or anything that's a really painful experience is we have to give ourselves space to actually go into all of that and to feel the waves of a lot of different emotions.
Yes.
And one of the ways that we can do that is giving ourselves space to really grieve. Grief and releasing anger and really feeling the sadness, those can be really big ones because they're some of the densest emotions that we hold on to. So people often feel comfortable expressing sadness. People feel like it's okay for me to be sad. We're coming to terms with that as a society. Like, let people feel their feelings. You know, we can feel it so that we can heal it and move forward. And I see a lot of people default to sadness, which is great. We get to feel that sadness. We get to feel the grief. We get to cry. We get to spend time in fetal position on the floor, releasing that. One of the emotions that is not encouraged for us to release is often anger. Our rage.
For women especially.
And we've done that practice before.
I was just going to say, like, when we went through the grief practice, the different stages of grief and the somatic experience behind each stage. And that was so beautiful. And I loved it so, so much. And for me, like, the biggest thing has been anger, like getting the anger out. It's been less of the sadness for me. It's been like a lot of anger. And it's been so healing to actually rage and like allow that anger to have a voice through my body.
Yeah. And I honor you for having the courage to really let that out and to be with it. And our anger can sometimes, as we're releasing it, especially as we're giving voice to it, it can be very easy to step into a place of judging that part of ourselves, that part of ourselves that can be petty or that might be really judging another person. And it's so important that we just let it out. And that's why that somatic hold or taking some deep breaths it's so important that we feel safe and we give ourselves permission to tune into that part of ourselves. And the anger often needs to move with a lot of movement in the body. It's moving the body, and we can do this in so many ways. We can hit a pillow. We can scream into a pillow. I like doing gestalt practice as well. And that's one of the tools that we teach in our certification at Coaching Evolved. Gestalt practice allows you to also give voice to it. And you can do a very simple form of this by having an empty chair in front of you or putting a pillow in front of you. And you get to bring somebody in. If it's someone or if it's a situation, you get to call them into that chair, call them onto that pillow, and express what needs to be expressed. Mm. Express what you're holding on to that you may not have had a chance to express with that person, or it wouldn't necessarily be healthy or a good thing for you to actually express that to the person. But you get to let it out as a way of moving that energy. Mm. And sounding is also really powerful. Sounding is so healing. And we can sound through a sigh. We can sound through a scream. Our bodies naturally make so many different sounds. And it can be really powerful to breathe and inhale, and then on the exhale, sorry to everyone's ears if that was a little loud.
I need to come out.
We get to sound, and you'll feel in your voice, you'll feel a clearing in your voice. You'll feel a clearing in the throat chakra as you let yourself release. And that clears your channel for something new to drop in.
Okay.
For you to be able to channel the divine, for you to be able to show up differently because you've given that part voice and you've cleared some of that energy and made a little bit of space for what is possible for you next.
I love this. And there's just so many layers to this. And
so
I think when you are stopping yourself from having something that you want, often the reason is not what you think it is. You know, I've seen this with some of my coaching clients where they want to speak on stage, or they want to, you know, run their business.
Never what you think
it is. It's never what you think. It's not like this thing. It's like, oh, there's an unresolved thing with my mom, or there's a thing that I need to say to my dad, or I haven't dealt with this thing that happened at school this one time, you know, and actually getting to have those conversations out loud. It's similar to writing a letter, but I think it's more powerful to speak it out loud. You know, and this is actually something that I have my clients do in my program, Feminine Force, where we work with the different archetypes, is I have them have the different archetypes within them communicate with each other and have them communicate with these different archetypes and give them a voice. And it's super powerful. I hope you are loving this conversation so far. I just want to take a brief pause and tell you about our beautiful membership community, the Goddess Collective. Starting out on your personal development and spiritual growth journey can be pretty lonely at times. You know, sometimes it feels like no one around you really gets it. And I really remember being in this place. Like, they don't want to read the books, they don't want to meditate, they don't want to have conversations about the universe and spirituality, and maybe they just don't understand why you are suddenly collecting crystals or doing tarot card readings or writing letters to the universe. I get it. You might find that you're getting labeled as woo-woo from your friends, or seeing people raise their eyebrows around you when you decide that you just don't feel like going to get drunk every weekend, because maybe you want to soak up your sweet self-care instead and be in your own company. To put it simply, not everyone around you is going to get the path that you're on, but that's okay, because in your community of wild women and like-minded sisters on the internet does exist, because that is exactly why I created it. Trust me when I say the goddesses in the collective are going to completely understand where you're at, what your desires are, what your hopes and dreams are, and they are ready to meet you. I designed the Goddess Collective in 2019 to be a beautiful virtual home for women of my community to come together from all walks of life, from all over the world, to really support each other on their path to becoming the greatest versions of themselves, to focus on their self-love, their self-development, and their self-mastery for at least 1 year together. Each month, our members receive nourishing, engaging,
informative workshops, and brilliant wisdom from teachers who lead from the heart. We set goals together that make our souls sing, and we start making those dreams of ours an absolute reality. We form friendships with community members from all over the world. We connect deeply through live coaching sessions with me and astrological energy readings. We vibe high, we evoke our divine feminine energy with breathwork, dance, sound healing, embodiment practices. We have an entire library of instant access content, workshops, practices, tools, workbooks, a book club for you to dive into today. If you've been hungry for more in your life and on your spiritual journey, then the Goddess Collective is ready to welcome you inside. We explore all kinds of topics, from pleasure and sex to human design to law of attraction, numerology, finding your purpose, healing your trauma, inner child work, and better yet, our monthly workshops are all based on suggestions from our beautiful community members. So this really is a membership designed with you in mind. Plus, when you join the membership, you're also going to have the opportunity to ask your questions to one of my Love, Sex, and Magic podcast guests as part of our show exclusives, along with having all of my guest Q&As that came before. So if you've always wished that you could ask my previous guests, such as Kate Northrup, Koya Webb, or Layla Martin, your burning questions, your opportunity to do that is all included when you join. And if you listen to this show, I already know that the collective is likely to be a virtual space that you can call your soul home. And because of that, I want to offer you a juicy discount when you enroll. So just add the code LOVESEXMAGIC at checkout and you will receive 10% off your annual enrollment. So go ahead, apply that code at the checkout, and I will see you inside.
You said something that I wanted to circle back to, which is about the vows and the contracts.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that, because that really touched me last night and it really moved something inside of me. You know, really going, oh, yeah, I do. I am still abiding by vows and contracts that I made to someone that I'm not in relationship with anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like you said, when somebody steps onto the stage, or they desire to step onto the stage, but there's something unresolved with their mom, or there's a relationship that they desire to have, but they're still holding on to something from a past relationship. One of the first places I like to dive in with someone is around the vows and the contracts that their past self has made to those people. And this can be a fascinating process to actually go through for your whole life. When I was studying emotional freedom technique, we had this process called the personal peace procedure. And we went through every year of our life and just tuned into whether or not there was anything that happened in that year of our life that was traumatic for us, or that brought up a lot of emotion, or where we made a vow or a contract. And we, in doing our work, went through each of those things to clear them, to make space for something new. So we were talking about this last night. If it's a partner that you were with, consider what vows you made to that person that you are still committing yourself to, consciously or unconsciously. And I think for you, part of it was conscious, and then there was this other part that was unconscious as well,
right,
where you're in this pattern of deeply committing to a person and that person isn't in your life anymore. So it's like, what are those vows, and can I enter into ceremony or a ritual space with myself and break those vows that I've made? And in doing so, choosing something else and clearing the space so that you can step into something else. We make a lot of vows to our parents when we're kids.
Absolutely.
We make vows to friends. We make vows to ourselves and commit to doing things that might not feel aligned for us anymore. And I love to tune in regularly to everything happening in my life, my friendships, my relationship, my work. And I ask myself, would I choose this again here in this moment, this version of me now in the present? Would I choose this again? And if the answer is no, or I'm not quite sure if I would choose this aspect of my life again if I was choosing right now, that's something for you to look at and dive deeper into. Like, what parts of it would I still choose? What parts of it don't feel in alignment? And it's about constantly calibrating in your life, constantly attuning to what is true for you now, because we often don't fully check in with what's completely aligned and true for us now, unless something happens that forces us to. But it can be a beautiful practice to come back to again and again and again, weekly, every couple days.
I want to hear more about the different ceremony spaces that we can create for ourselves, because I know you wrote an incredible book called Rituals. Can you talk about ritual, like the kind of ritual that we can create just for ourselves if we don't have someone that can hold that space for us, or we want to just do it in our own home?
So I believe that we can all become our own best coach and healer and teacher. And that starts with getting really curious about what's going on within ourselves, within our entire being right now. So getting curious about what that is, and then being able to see where there may be aspects of your life that are out of alignment. And we were talking about the vows and the contracts, taking a look at those, tuning into your body, checking in with your heart and asking your heart, how safe do you feel? And what is this particular wall about? You know, if you're feeling a little closed off, or, you know, what would allow you to open more widely? What would make you feel safe in opening a little more to love? So we can tune into these parts of ourselves, whether it's a part of our body, whether it's a chakra, whether it's an archetype within us that we tune into and ask it what it needs, or if there's part of it that doesn't feel safe. And I think that's a beautiful place to start with creating personal ceremonies. And creating ceremony is really just setting the space. It doesn't have to look a certain way. I know that sometimes we see on Instagram that people are in ceremony space and the ceremony space looks a certain way. You get to just set a space that feels very intentional for you. And it's really about the intentionality that's behind it. So you can light a candle. You can call on guides or angels if that feels true for you. You can invoke the light if that feels true for you. It's about what you feel aligned with and what feels true in your being. And you get to work with that part. You get to be curious and ask parts of yourself more questions. Therapeutic journaling can be really powerful as well. I also love speaking out loud, as you know, and I think actually speaking it out loud can be even more powerful. I don't hold to rigid rituals either. And I think this part is really important because, yes, I have a book called The Rituals, and you know, you can pick it up on Amazon for $12 and you can go through the different practices. And I really encourage people to make them their own, to make them their own. Look at different rituals from your culture as well, because those are part of your lineage and they will likely resonate with you on a very deep level. And then ultimately, you are the ritual. Your life, how you choose to live your life, that is ritual. You know, the world can be your altar that you are placing your gifts, your expression onto, which contributes to the collective healing and collective evolution.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. I love that perspective and that reminder that rituals don't need to be these rigid, perfect practices that happen every single day.
Exactly. And I think that's where we start getting more automatic. So one of the things I believe deeply into, and that is the ethos at Coaching Evolved, is this balance of the feminine and the masculine, a balance of embodiment and mind, a balance of rituals and habits, flow and force, aliveness and automation. And if we're making our rituals really rigid or something we feel we have to do, now we're taking it into that realm of the unconscious. Like, habits in their nature become unconscious, and they can support us in many ways, but that's the point of the habit. It's to make something so habitual that you don't have to think about doing it anymore. And thank God, thank Goddess, we have all of these habits, because some of them really serve us. Mm-hmm. Or if you think about breathing, I don't want to have to think about breathing all day long. Thank you so much to my body that just breathes. And with our rituals, we want to bring our conscious awareness and intentionality to them. And they also bring us back to what is present in us right now. And that's a check-in I love doing as well. What is present? What is alive in me right now? And scanning your body, starting from the bottoms of your feet and slowly scanning up with your conscious awareness and checking if there's anything there. If there's a tension, if it feels like there's a knot, if there is an emotion when we start getting into especially the space that holds our chakras, if we get to our womb space and we feel like something's there, there's an energy stirring in there, bring your conscious awareness to it and dialogue with it. Tune in. It's a way that we can come back into this felt sense and a way of experiencing life through our body instead of just through our mind. And that's what I'm hoping embodiment brings more people back to as well. Like, we get to tune into the wisdom of our body and let it lead more, let it influence our cognition more instead of the other way around. And I think that will change a lot of things in the world, in how we connect. We have to connect with ourselves to be able to connect with another. We have to be connected to ourselves to be able to care for our earth, to be able to care for our planet. I think disembodiment has a lot to do about, a lot to do with being disconnected from our mother.
And it goes hand in hand with this, the rise of the divine feminine, because the body is the feminine. And I think that's why so many women really resonate with embodiment work, because it's the body, it's inherently feminine. And I think we've been living so much in the mind. We've been so heady. We've been intellectualizing everything. We've been learning things in the mind, but not embodying them fully. So it feels like it's a part of the same conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think more people being embodied and tuned into their physical body and also their emotional body and their energetic body, their mental body, their spiritual body is going to do a lot in the world and help us to really deeply connect with each other. We have to. And we live in a world where it's beautiful that we get to connect through technology. It's beautiful that, you know, you and I became friends because of the internet. And I'm grateful for that. And there's nothing like being with people in person either, like connecting, feeling another human. We sat at dinner last night and we sat on the same side of the table and we like cozied up with each other and we eye gazed and we like connected heart to heart in a deep and open and vulnerable way. Like, that's where the magic is. Yeah. That's where the magic is. That's where the love is. That's where great sex is.
Yes. So beautiful. Well, Natalie, this has been such a pleasure. I want to ask you our love, sex, magic questions next. Ooh. So what is one thing that you are loving right now?
I just put in a home sauna with a mineral jacuzzi and a spa, and it's like my everyday, it's my everyday delight.
Mm, I love that.
It's so good. So good. Mm. I feel so healthy with it.
Beautiful. Something that turns you on.
Mm. I aspire to move through the world, letting all of life make love to me. Being so receptive that I'm just, I'm like being fucked by the whole universe.
Yes. I love that.
And I get closer and closer to that every day, and definitely every year. It's
love that answer.
It's so juicy. Like that's where my greatest creative flow is found as well.
Beautiful. And the last time you experienced magic?
It's like every moment. It's right here. It's me. It's you. Mm. It's synchronicities, like the most powerful synchronicities when we're open to seeing them. And
yes.
Yeah. This moment's pretty magical. Just looking into your eyes.
I love you.
I love you so much.
So where can everyone come and find out more about you, about Coaching Evolve? Give us all the details.
All the information. Yeah. So come and find me on Instagram at Natalie McNeil. Let me know one of your takeaways from this, or try one of the practices and let me know how that feels in your body. And if you're interested in learning how to be an embodied and masterful coach and healer and leader in the world, I invite you to come over and learn more about what we're doing at Coaching Evolved. We have the only multi-modality professional life coaching certification that there is, and that leads to you being able to go ahead and get your professional coaching credential with the International Coach Federation. You'll be trained in emotional freedom technique, facilitating breath work, meditation, guided practices, embodiment work. So you can come on over to coachingevolved.co/Mel Wells, and you can find out more about that if you feel called to really serve in that way and help people in transforming their lives and then having a ripple effect that transforms the entire world.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to head into the Goddess Collective and take some community questions next. But for everyone else, thank you so much, Natalie. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, loves, I hope you enjoyed that episode and got so much from it. Please do share it. Share your takeaways with me. I would absolutely love your feedback. And of course, please do leave us a review if you haven't already. Your reviews and comments mean so much to me. They really help us to keep growing this podcast, growing this community, and reaching people just like yourselves. So once again, thank you for listening. I hope your week and your life is filled with love, sex, and magic. See you soon.